You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where we do what we say. We lean into the local community. And this has just been a crazy week, right, with the outgoing president, new president coming in, and just a lot of media coverage on that, as there should be. Still a lot going on throughout the world, right, Gaza and Ukraine. But here today and always is we focus on what's local. We lean into the local community. And it's usually with one guest where we can really dig into the issue. And I got my favorite guest here. I mean, I just got to say it because I did very little prep work for this interview, so I hope it goes as smooth. But we have with us today the 42nd mayor of Green Bay, Eric Ingerk. So
how you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you bet. The big question is, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are good. I've been battling a cold like I think just about everybody in the country, if not one or two colds. But I feel like I'm coming out of it, so I feel good.
Well, if being mayor of the third largest city in the state, the only issue is having a cold. You're doing pretty well.
Exactly. Yeah. No, things are good. And, you know, we just had a council meeting on Tuesday, as is oftentimes the case at City Hall. And things have been going well, especially with this new council. And, you know, I almost want to apologize to you for, you know, how good I've had it in recent times, because that can make all the difference, right?
My God.
And so we have a very... I know we're going to touch on maybe some development issues that we've got in the city, or projects and things. And especially from a development point of view, you know, it's a really constructive council.
The council, it's amazing how much I got done with the council I had. And I think sometimes, and you're not supposed to do that, but wow, if I'd had a different council, how much better it would have been. But it is what it is. And I did my best, and I'm glad they're gone, and I'm glad you're there and that we're moving forward here. But that makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, but with all that said, the city's been receiving some nice awards, you know? Yeah, I mean, it was a couple of years ago, but it was number one place to live. But even recently, I read something, you're the ninth in some category.
Yeah, we end up on these lists where, you know, best place to remote work.
Right.
You know, the big one, obviously, was U.S. News and World Report a little while back, with being the number one city to live in. Safest community in the country, we got a couple of years back.
Right.
And obviously, that doesn't happen by accident. There's a lot of people in this community working every day to make it the kind of place that it is and has been for so many years. So so it's just fortunate to be in this role.
And when I read the data that goes into that, it's not just because we have the Packers.
Right.
And I think that's good. I think some people, of course, you're the best city. You know, you're that small town with an NFL franchise. No, that's not it.
Yeah, that's not usually the biggest factor, right? When they're looking at those rankings, oftentimes, especially recently, healthcare has been a big one, you know, good quality, affordable healthcare.
Right.
Cost of living generally, you know, is pretty modest here, gone up, as is the case in just about every place, right, with housing inflation and things like that, but still very competitive in that area. And, you know, again, like I mentioned earlier with the safest city designation, you know, we've got a very safe community here, a great police force and a community, you know, that works really well with our officers and our chief and everybody else. And, and so I think that's a huge factor.
Yeah. I mean, later I want to talk about the police and fire, and I've just got a couple questions on that, but we're talking about these awards that the city's receiving, but I think our listeners should know, and you and I know, it's more than the municipality of Green Bay.
Right. Yeah. It's greater Green Bay, right?
It's greater Green Bay. Yeah.
So we're fortunate to be at the heart of that,
right?
Being the city of Green Bay, but it's really a recognition of the entire metropolitan area oftentimes.
And sometimes they even go so far as they'll take the MSA, which includes, you can reach out to Kewaunee and O'Connell County, where they take that whole region. But I think if you're going to judge that whole region, you'd come here.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to. You know, we are, like I said, we're at the heart of the community. there's no such, I think you've said this, right? There's no such thing as a suburb with a, without the urban area.
Right.
Right. Right. You're not a suburb to nothing. And, and so, you know, we work very intentionally to maintain the kind of community that, that you and other community leaders have built over the years. And so there's a great relationship that exists, a symbiotic relationship between, you know, suburbs and urban centers like ours. But yeah, that's a huge piece of it.
I want to just touch on that, and then I'll move on to the city of Green Bay and the projects. I have had some other municipal leaders on here. Something that, this is going to be nothing new to you,
yeah,
but this whole Green Bay name, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's seven people that enjoy that address.
Sure.
And yet their municipality, you know, Howard, Ashwaubenon, Bellevue, don't really participate. They don't vote for the mayor of Green Bay.
Right.
They don't pay taxes in the city of Green Bay. But the relationship is strong, you feel?
Yeah. I mean, I've got good relationships with the surrounding municipal leaders. You know, Jim Rafter, obviously, down in Alloway. My dad's on the village board. Yeah, I've got to have a good relationship with him. But a good group, I think, of local leaders here who are all, generally speaking, pulling in the right direction. It is funny, though. You know, you get contacted by people that assume they're in the city, right? Because that's what their mailing address says. Kind of the funniest example of that was, I think, before the 2019 election, when I was running for the first time, somebody in Alloway went to go vote, was really upset that I wasn't on the ballot and just wrote me in, right? And it's
like, it's like, well, on the ballot.
I appreciate that. You know, it's not going to get counted, but
Well, and that can happen. And people have said that to me as well, especially some people who move here. They didn't know they weren't in Green Bay until they got a water bill. Like one of these media people, I remember him saying that, because I can't believe I don't live in Green Bay. And I don't know, you live in Green Bay, so it was a Bellevue thing.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot to compare that to, right? Because I've lived majority of my life in Green Bay, went to school down in Madison. But I would imagine that's the case with other communities as well, suburban communities where people just feel like, you know, they're part of that urban center as well.
Yeah. I'll jump to, you talk about regional working together. And I think there's some things that need to be worked on together. And there's other things where you kind of go on your own. You know what I mean? So let's talk about working together with the suburbs, the draft.
Right.
I mean, you must hear that every day?
Yeah. Especially now, right? The closer we get, the more frequent the conversations surrounding the draft. So we had a good discussion earlier today with our police and fire. On the police side, Ben Allen, Captain Allen, is kind of leading that effort. On the fire side, Chief Knott and his team. And so I had a good discussion just about, latest what they're hearing from Jim Arts and other folks with the NFL as far as some of the public safety elements are coming together. But I was just talking to Patty Kiewicz earlier today about some of our transit plans to make sure that people are going to be safely and effectively moving throughout the community. So, yeah, you know, as we get closer, like I said, even more conversation. Just last week, I think we had a press conference talking about the music festival and fireworks that we're going to be having downtown. And that's really our biggest responsibility is making sure that that we're not at all competing when draft programming itself is happening over at Lambeau Field, but we're creating collaborative, complimentary events that people can enjoy when we're here, pulling people downtown, making sure they, you know, see Military Avenue, Business Improvement Districts, you know, on the East Side, Main Street, and even University Avenue, you know, the entirety of the community sees some kind of benefit from this great event.
And you have a core of people from the city driving that, or is this something that, Alloway, you're doing this, Ashwaubenon, you're doing this, we're doing this, I wonder how competitive it's going to be, but I don't really care because there's 250,000 people here. I mean, there's enough for everybody, right?
Exactly.
I mean, and we do that on game day, which is 78,000 or 80,000? So,
yeah, I think there's going to be enough to go around. Certainly most of our conversations have been with Village of Ashwaubenon and the county. Those are kind of the three biggest entities that connect, especially over at Lambeau Field. But, you know, I think it's going to be of benefit to everybody.
I'm going to... It's 100 days away or something? It's
less than, yeah.
Okay,
we're
less,
in double digits. So.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting. It is moving along.
It is.
And I talked to someone about that, and they said the NFL, we communicate with them, but we're not getting everything right away because they got the Super Bowl. That's probably their top priority, right?
Right. Well, especially at this point in the calendar. I had some really good discussions, you know, kind of leading up to the end of the year, and then they kind of shift their... their line of sight towards the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
After the Super Bowl, they're going to turn towards us again and things will really ramp up.
They send you your tickets?
Well, they're free. So, yeah, I mean, I guess. I guess no, we
I meant,
all got tickets.
I meant for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, no.
I know.
Not yet.
Yeah. No, that is cool. And I think we got to remind people of that, too, that the NFL draft is free.
Right.
It's that's almost incredible knowing the NFL, right?
Yep. Yeah, it is a great experience. And the only one that I've ever been to was over in Detroit.
Right.
I think I talked to you and John
actually
when I was over there, you know, just kind of explaining what I was witnessing. And but yeah, it's great.
So we're double digits away from that. And I mean, there are people listening, but do you have any concerns? Like, I mean, really, that we can help with an address now?
Right. No, I don't have any big concerns. I mean, one thing that I think still needs to get squared away is how people are going to move throughout the community. I mentioned that Patty Kiewicz, who runs our transit service here within the city of Green Bay, does a fantastic job, has a really good plan. But we have an undersized transit system in comparison to a Detroit or a Kansas City or,
right,
you know, some of these other communities. And so we're going to be waiting for some more, I think, you know, more detailed plans from the NFL. Talking about how they're going to get people throughout the community.
And they might even bring in equipment, buses?
Yeah, and you know, there's been talk about contracting with lamers, with some satellite parking lots.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, exactly. So we're still waiting on some of those details. Other than that, though, like I've said to you before, you know, we've just got the best police and fire departments in the country, right? And they work together along with Brown County, Village of Ashwaubenon, you know, every game day. At Lambeau Field, and so we've got a really good team on that front.
The security fire, we have the best guy in the NFL running it.
Right.
I mean, he was the chief of police here in Green Bay, went down to Nashville, and now he's running this draft thing. So I think Jim's going to do a fine job. I don't worry about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to go to break in just a minute, but tell me about, what if it snows?
We're not hoping for that. You know,
really?
The NFL, well, it's funny, you know, The NFL is kind of interested in seeing that imagery, right? We would not like to see that. We want to see 70 and sunny, and I think we will.
Okay, man. I just think if it snows, I want to be the guy that has something to make some money. You know what I mean? Because you know, right, people aren't thinking about that. Everybody thinks it's going to be, and we've had that. Just this winter's been unbelievably mild. I mean, I used my snowblower, I think, once, but no, I just tease you. But we've had snow in April.
We have. I remember, I think that was back in 2018.
Yeah, I walked to work that day.
It was like 2 feet of snow or
it
something
was,
close.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was wild.
All right, hey, I got a whole list here of projects I want to get updated on from you, and plus there's a couple of things I want to talk about with police and fire. So Mayor Eric Gingrich is in the house, and I appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local with Jim Schmidt. We have a very special guest with us, the mayor of Green Bay, Eric Gingrich. We're talking about development projects, but I want to thank one of our sponsors, and that's Nicolet Bank. And, you know, I can speak with some authority how great they were to the city and, you know, with 57 branches. And I've had some of their customers on here because Nicolet's like, what do you want me to say about you? Just whatever. Talk to some of our customers. And so Copper State was in here. And that's a nice business, and Nicolet financed them, you know, and they do a lot for these small businesses,
right?
And I'm sure they step up with the city, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're huge community partners, always sponsoring different events, you know, with On Broadway and downtown Green Bay. And to your point, you know, it's a community bank, right? They're not headquartered out in Manhattan or wherever it might be. you know, they're headquartered right downtown Green Bay. And they chose to be right on Washington Street, a huge partner in redeveloping downtown.
They were.
Several years ago now. And so, yeah, we love Nicolet.
Yeah, that's why I had to sell my stock because Tom Milburn didn't like the fact that I was a stockholder in Nicolet and was the mayor.
Oh, is that right?
And I shouldn't have done that. Whatever. But anyway, I'll tell you that. But Nicolet is, they're a great company. And, you know, again, with 57 branches in Northeast and Central Wisconsin, the UP and Northern Michigan, Eastern Minnesota, they're expanding. But like you just said, Mayor, their focus, their philanthropy, their charity is right here in Green Bay. And,
right.
They're just great to have around. So we left talking about the NFL draft. And I think something that I hear and I know you hear a lot is, well, it's all in Ashwaubenon, which a lot of it is. Yeah. I mean, the stadium is in the city of Green Bay.
That's right.
And always, but that's carved out. And I don't know who was in charge back then. Sure as hell wasn't me. But you approved a project right across the street.
We did. Yeah, that was a big vote at our city council just on Tuesday. Tim Keene, who you know well, mm-hmm. A great area business owner. Margaritas, probably, you know, most well known for running Margaritas over there in Ashwaubenon. But he's owned this parcel, you know, on that corner of Ridge and Lombardi, a really key piece of the city for quite some time. And so we just moved forward on Tuesday with the zoning changes that are necessary to allow for that development to take place. So there's going to be a condo building, a building that Mike Coppins is actually doing. Tim is mm-hmm. partnering with Mike on this development. And so Mike's got kind of a flat style development with, I think, 5 stories on that northeast corner. And then the corner that's really on Ridge and Lombardi itself is going to be a pretty sizable commercial structure there. So, you know, a lot of details will still have to come together.
Sure.
We don't have a development agreement or something like that where you'd have some more details, but the underlying zoning changes were really important. And that was a big hurdle to get over.
Right. And, you know, I think I read, not everybody likes change. Everybody wants development, but nobody wants change. It's like, they kind of go together.
Right.
But I'm glad we won't, because that looks like a lost opportunity. You know, when you drive down, you look at the one side, it's like, well, how come nothing's going on over here? I'm glad you guys
did
that.
And even, you know, even some of those neighbors or residents who are a little skeptical of the development itself, you know, many of them acknowledge, like, it you know, nothing's happened there for way too long. And it's time for some development. So we're excited about that.
All right. Hey, I want to move around the city project by project, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of a project guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take them, there's no order of importance, but a little bit like what's in the news. So mm-hmm. let's start with the public market.
Yeah.
Over on Broadway, they broke ground. Well, this was, what paper? I kept some papers that I was looking at here, but it does say the market project will fall short of the NFL draft deadline, may open in summer of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
You feeling that?
Yeah, I am. I know that they're still working hard to, you know, to raise the funds that are necessary to build out the entirety of the public market. But, you know, you've traveled around a fair amount. I've traveled a bit and seen some of these public markets in different communities. Milwaukee, you know, probably the closest one, mm-hmm. very well established one. Just a great place for people within the community and those who are visiting to go hang out and check out local businesses, local cuisine, and just a great place to socialize. So I think that's going to be a really key part of our downtown on Broadway district moving forward. And so, you know, as you know, the city partnered with them, provided both some ARPA funding, but also some TID assistance to make that project possible. So we're excited about it.
I thought that was a nonprofit. How does it pay taxes?
So they are going to be a taxed entity.
Oh, they are. Okay,
yeah,
good.
They are organized as a nonprofit, but you know, that designation doesn't automatically go to nonprofit entities. It kind of depends on the sorts of activities that are involved there. So they are going to be paying taxes.
All right.
On that.
And that's tracking.
Yep.
Okay, good. Well, I want to see that. I kind of work over there.
Right.
Hey, I want to talk to you. I don't know. Do I want to stay on Broadway? You just are leasing now 223 apartments.
Right. Yeah. So the Fort just recently opened their doors. As you know, there's some twists and turns in development deals and it's not always a straight line to get from A to B and get the doors open. So this project, you know, took a bit longer than many of us were hoping, but we're really excited that we've gotten to the point where, you know, we're bringing, I think it's 221, 225, you know, new units online, apartment homes online for people to live in right in our downtown, and just a really nice addition to the rail yard, which, you know, we don't need to go all the way back to some of the old days with the discussion of Walmart and yes or no and all that, right? But, you know, none of this would be possible if you and the council had not said that's not the right fit for the community.
Six.
Yeah.
That, you know, and now people look at it, they're like, that would have been crazy to have a Walmart. Well, you know what? That was so close. I was one vote away and just a lot of fighting on that. And
right. So we've been able to preserve those historic buildings, those warehouses.
I love that.
You know, the new development, the fort's a great example of that. New housing opportunities for folks. So that's a great thing.
Let me just ask you, there's a lot of housing being built in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And when I say Green Bay, we're back to greater Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
And I look at, you know, if Terrence Wall gets his arm around that project in Howard and, of course, at Schwabadon. And then I just read something about Hobart leaning into some housing. Any concerns with how much housing we're building? It seems like there's a lot, doesn't it?
It does feel that way. I think one of the issues, you know, the county, the metro area continues to grow. City kind of hanging steady, hopefully, you know, with some of these additional developments, we're going to move the needle a little bit more on population. But one of the issues that we see, not just in Green Bay, but everywhere, is the reduction of household size, right? So you need more units to actually house the same number of people.
Right.
So that's a factor in all of this. But yeah, we're still a growing region, and everybody keeps telling us, you know, we're going to continue to need more housing.
And I think housing is on everybody's. Do you sit down with the other municipalities and talk about the type of housing? Because there's a variety of housing. There's workforce housing, of course. There's just middle, and then there's this high end stuff. I want to get to that project in a second. But do you think we're building? I just want to hear this from you. Do you think we're building the right type of housing in the region?
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, in an ideal world, if you had kind of a metropolitan system of government, it'd be a little bit easier to
master plan it.
Think strategically about the types of housing, where you might locate it. Short of that, I think we are producing you know, what people are looking for.
Okay. All right. There's a lot going on here. I want to get through these projects. You can start thinking now. Coal Piles, Georgia Pacific, Gippers. I want to talk a little bit about what's the other project I have here? Oh, Main Street.
Okay.
You bladed that. So think about that during this 1 minute break.
It's going to be like a lightning round. I'm ready.
It's okay. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. And Mary.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Lean Local. We are here talking with the Mayor of Green Bay, the 42nd Mayor of Green Bay, Eric Gingrich, who has been was elected in 2019 and then reelected last year. Is that right?
2023, yeah.
2023.
Yep.
I'm right. Yeah. And you are you happy? Do you like it? Are you happy? Is it like some people are like, you know what I mean? Like, did you go to the mayor's conference? Were you just out in D.C.?
I didn't make it to that
one. All right.
Yeah, but I've been to a bunch of them.
Right. And
I mean, it's the best job in politics, right?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I've only had two in politics, right? But especially being the mayor of your hometown, the place, you know, where I was born and raised, and you know, it's just a different job, especially in comparison to legislative politics, where in the assembly, you know, you're one of 99, you got the state senate, the governor, you know, try to get something done, you know, can be a little bit more challenging. Whereas here, you know, you work with the council, you work with a private business, for example, on some of these development projects, and you can see things come together.
Yeah. The other good thing about, you know, I think when you make a decision when you're 40 or I don't know how old you are, but 39, it's
45. Like,
okay, well, I want to, that's perfect for what I want to underscore here is that from 42, 43 to 55, those are your years, man. And I had a friend of mine and he goes, are you nuts? You're in it for mayor? He goes, you're entering the most highest income years of your life and you're going to go work for those clowns for $72,000? I'm like, I am. And he made millions selling his company.
Sure.
But, you know, God bless him. I mean, we still go to McDonald's. You know, I mean, it's not like he can buy any more Big Mac. I guess he could, but we still go out. But I just think when someone makes that commitment, that's a heck of a commitment to say, sure, look, I'm going to serve and not for 4 years. And it leads to other things, but it's, that's not why you do it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you can't put a price tag on fulfillment or,
right,
or public service or the feeling that you get when something comes together and you feel like it's doing real good in the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been fantastic.
So there's a continuity of mayors that I can speak to a little bit. Romy Dennison was elected the mayor in 1959. And I went and saw him after I was elected.
Right.
He lived in Alloway, hotter than hell in his apartment. I just remember that. When I said, Romy, you know, you got it. Like, oh, yeah, congratulations. Glad you won. I said, Romy, tell me, you got any, you know, historic knowledge for me, any wisdom you want to pass on? And, you know, he talked a little bit about some things. He goes, and you got to move those damn coal piles. That was 50 years ago. And then I worked. Paul worked at it.
Right.
I worked at it.
I know.
You came closer than anybody.
Well, we're not done yet.
I want to say that. I was just going to back up on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We have not thrown in the towel yet. We're still, you know, working with C. Rice in conversation with Troy and some other folks at the county to see if we can't still get this deal done. But I have talked about that conversation because you relayed that to me before, that you talked to Romy Dennison about it. And I, you know, it's like our cross to bear as mayors to make that commitment. But, right, you know, the stars have gotten as close to aligning as we've ever seen.
Yes.
With Pulliam being vacated and all of that. So and $15 million being appropriated,
right,
from the state to make this happen. We just have got to get it done.
You do.
Yeah.
Because when I, you know, looked at the paper, coal piles could stay. It's like, who the hell would vote for that?
Yeah. I you know, you scratch your head a little bit sometimes. You know, how some certain people make decisions, but we're still at the table, you know, we're still talking with C. Rice about how we might use a little bit of an alternative relocation plan, but hopefully some more details to come on that.
All right. So that's still alive.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I mean, some people think, you know.
No, and the state has been a great partner. You know, they're the ones that the governor, Governor Evers and Kathy Blumenfeld at DOA, you know, they're the ones that appropriated this funding, the $15 million anyway. And they've been very committed to this. And so we're going to stay at it and try to make it happen.
Right. When that happens, can I get you back here? And I'm going to invite all the living mayors, which I think it's just Paul. Is that guy out in New York?
No, Monfils?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he passed away in my first term. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Back in 2020.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just the three of us now. Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be a fun show to talk about and how you're the guy that got it done. Yeah. Okay. A couple other projects that are, I guess now I would see that they're intertwined, but the WPS building, which is on the water, corporate office,
right,
I thought was in good shape. I'd been there a lot of times. That was another great philanthropy like Nicolet Bank, right?
Right.
I mean, those guys were super good to the city.
Yeah, and still are, you know, cornerstones of the community.
Right.
We had mentioned some of our draft activities that we have planned. WPS Foundation, a huge sponsor,
awesome,
of our Wednesday night event that we're going to be having at Leicht Park. But yeah, to your point, have vacated the headquarters down there at the confluence of the Fox River and the East River. And as far as development areas, development potential is concerned, you really couldn't find a better place for us in downtown. So I think that's kind of the next frontier of development.
And then right next to that, we lost, I get relocated a whole bunch of the Georgia Pacific jobs. And that's quite a piece of property as well.
Right. Yeah. So with that, you know, it was kind of like a good news, bad news situation where the Day Street Mill was shutting down. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have strong family, nostalgic connections to Day Street Mill. But Georgia Pacific on South Broadway was expanding, right?
Yeah.
So $500 million plus development that they cut the ribbon on just this past summer.
Right.
But as a result, you know, this too is a huge redevelopment opportunity for us. This was on the agenda on Tuesday. So we move forward with a downtown rezoning of that property simply because, you know, I don't think the community wants to see a heavy industrial use down there.
No.
Right. Again, at the confluence of the Fox and the East River, given what we would love to see at WPS, we want this to be a really strong complement to that.
And I don't think people really know the potential down there unless you get on a kayak.
Right, exactly.
There's a kayak launch down there, but I mean, I've done that. It's like, man, this there's a lot of bank here.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people think the downtown ends at the convention center. Right. Right. There's not a whole lot of need to go right. further into there. Right. But once we see some redevelopment activity move forward, I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
So what, so that was all rezoned. And what, do you know what's next on that? I mean, do you vote for RFPs or what, how does that work?
So it's, well, I know how it works, but with the Georgia Pacific site, yeah. It still requires another reading, at our council before the rezoning is complete. So that'll be happening, I think, early March. They are in conversation, I think, with a number of potential buyers.
Awesome.
And so, yeah, we're hoping to move forward on that very soon.
So Main Street is part of our downtown.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes it's, sometimes it's, you know, Broadway, Washington, but that's a cool street. And there's some great small entrepreneurial businesses on there. And now you're stepping into Main Street now too, right? Now you read that you're, did you buy it? Did the city buy property or what happened?
We haven't bought it. I mean, that too is kind of an interesting story of how that's come together. You know, one of our local developers, Peter Nugent, who you're probably familiar with, you know, he owns that site. You know, they ran into some unforeseen circumstances that made a good portion of it unbuildable. And so that's why nothing has really happened there for a long time. So our RDA and then our council did a blight designation is what it's called. Ultimately, that's going to allow for that developer to donate it to the city of Green Bay or convey it for a dollar. And then we're going to be able to move forward with some redevelopment. Again, like I said, a large portion of that is not developable.
I was going to say, if he could develop on it, neither can you.
I think it's really going to be, you know, a nice waterfront amenity, potentially sort of like a public square, food truck park, something, you know, to that extent. You know, back during your administration, continued into mine work on the East River Trail.
Yeah.
So that's continuing to move forward. This, I think, would be a nice complement to that project.
Awesome. Okay. I was going to go into trails, but I'm not. I'm going to talk about University Avenue. Another corridor that doesn't get a ton of attention, but I'm delighted to see that you're bringing in an Indian restaurant.
Right. I know. Yeah. And Gippers, you know, Gippers was such a great restaurant for so many years. People loved going there. So to see that restaurant reactivated, you know, we don't have a lot of Indian cuisine options in the community. And so to be able to add that to University there's a ton of really great businesses over there. Some, you know, a Puerto Rican restaurant, you know, a ton of great Mexican restaurants over there. So to be able to add another option like that is pretty exciting for people.
And I think that's what makes a city versus a suburb or versus a small town is the diversity of restaurants. And restaurants, they don't pay tremendous taxes. They don't pay really high wages, but boy, do they bring the culture to your community.
Yeah, they really do. And the work ethic,
right?
I mean, you look at some of these businesses on University and other areas of the community as well, but first and second generation immigrants who are you know, building families, building this community, you know, just making things interesting and exciting and adding so much to it.
Yeah. I want to shift gears now because we've been talking about a lot of great things, and there are a lot of great things, you know, thanks to, like you said, a whole lot of people that contribute, the nonprofits. A couple things that do come up though, Mayor, is homelessness.
Sure.
And I don't know. And I'm down here every day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I come to work at like 5 o'clock, but then I work at a homeless shelter.
Yep.
And I think we're trying our best, but do you see stuff? Do you see that moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, it connects back to the housing conversation earlier, right? Housing prices have gotten higher than we've ever seen. You know, demand for housing is so competitive these days. And the people that, you know, end up in the most difficult straits as a result of that are the folks at the far low income. And unfortunately, we've seen that happen here in this community. You know, you add to that drug and alcohol addiction, which again is probably more severe with the rise in the intensity of some of the opioids that folks are addicted to, methamphetamines. And so it's a real challenge. You know, it's something, unfortunately, where we're not immune to it anymore. You know, again, this is a problem that just about every community in the country is facing. But we have, you know, done some things to address it, partnering, you know, with some of our homeless shelters. New Community, you know, has been doing a great job for so many years. others in the community as well. But we now we have a couple of homeless case coordinators, homelessness case coordinators.
I want to talk about the whole mental health case coordinators, whatever they are. But I read where you put more money into mental health. Right? Did I read that right? To put the police and fire?
Okay. So we have a couple things on that front. We have behavioral health officers within the police department that partner with licensed clinical social workers at the county to respond in crisis situations where we're having somebody with some experience, like a social worker, really comes into play. Also, having that training offered to our officers so they know how to detect if somebody's in a mental health crisis. You know, what's the best way to interact with an individual like that? That's been really helpful. We also have started up a piloted program called the Mobile Integrated Health Unit. That's on the fire side of things, and so the thinking there, and there's some crossover there. But the thinking there is to try to identify those folks within the community who are using healthcare maybe in not the most efficient way. They're going to the ER much more frequently than they should be. They're not taking their medications, and as a result, they're having these extreme health incidents. So trying to reduce some of those activities, and that's where that connection to the homeless population also factors in sometimes.
And I don't think people see that part of it. And I want to, this is back in when I was first elected, but we read this article on $1 million, whatever, Larry or something. And this with the ER calls, $1 million in a year, this guy said, they took the time. And I think it's great that we get ahead of that because people say, well, at least they're not costing us anything. Well, they cost a lot.
Right. Well, and like I said, this is just a pilot program, but what we're hoping to do is collect a lot of good data that we can show to our health systems within the community and say, hey, these are, the number of incidents that we're preventing from ending up in the emergency room. You know, does it make sense for you to partner with us? Because there's a real cost benefit
and
to preventing that from happening.
Right.
Yeah. And they can't keep people out of their ERs too. I don't know if that's something that a lot of people know, but because of federal law, somebody shows up at their ER, they got to treat them.
And that is one expensive room.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the best doctors are very well staffed. I want to talk to you about, we're talking a little bit of police and fire, what you're doing internally with the support. I want to talk about externally with new buildings. I want to talk about the Press Gazette. I want to talk about something you're looking at. I heard on the west side of Green Bay. We'll talk about those things, and I want to get into a couple other bigger picture things. You're listening to Lean Local. Mayor Eric Gingrich is the guest today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Jim Schmidt and our special in-house guest, Mayor Eric Gingrich, and we are talking about the city, and we've leaned very much into the city, different projects that are going on, the things that are happening within City Hall, things that are happening in development, things that are happening event-wise, and we kind of left off talking a little bit about the structure and the just how well the police and fire department work together and that they are kind of reaching more onto mental health through training and some people that you brought on board, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So what about the bricks and mortar of those two buildings? That's always, we get Romy Dennison back here for that too.
Right.
That's always an issue, right?
It is. Yeah. And this too, it's been a conversation that's been going on for a while. And, I think it was tough for us to find the right plan, the fiscally responsible route for building new facilities for our police department, also for our fire department. So with the police department in particular, you know, we were able to acquire the Press Gazette building, which is, you know, right across the parking lot from where City Hall is. So some advantages in terms of co-locating those services with ours. It's in close proximity to the parking ramp. So you'd be able to put some squads in the ramp itself when people aren't, you know, on call or on work, actually. So there's an advantage there. It's an old historic building. It's a beautiful building. And so to be able to renovate that building, to add some activity to it, to add significant square footage to what, in comparison to the current police department, was a real advantage for us as well. So space needs analysis ongoing. Hoping to have some more concrete answers probably end of February, early March, to guide us as far as how we would actually put those operations into the Press Gazette building. But looking forward to doing that.
When I was in your chair, I tried to buy the Press Gazette building because I thought City Hall should be in there.
Yeah.
Because it's a cool looking historic. I mean, that's a City Hall looking building. You know, right. That thing you're in. I would, well, if I were you, I'd move in the Press Gazette building and give the police department City Hall.
Right. Yeah, that could be an option too. I've always thought the courthouse would be kind of nice, right? For a City Hall. That's what a lot of people think is the City
Hall.
They
do. Well, that Soviet style building we're in, it's just, you shouldn't build that. And did you see what they tore down? Did you see what City Hall was in Green Bay?
I've seen those pictures.
Does that make you stay up all night?
Yeah.
I know.
We got the bell. We still got the bell. That's about it.
That's great. Okay. No, hey, so then you're thinking of police in that neck of the woods. What about fire?
Yeah, so fire, you know, where we are planning to locate them is in tandem with a housing development on South Broadway, the old Badger sheet metal site. Some people might be familiar with obviously what we're doing at Shipyard. So it's essentially just right across Broadway from the Shipyard development. The thinking there is to co-locate a new fire station with that housing. Again, kind of, you know, trying to most efficiently use space, use dollars, and to be able to create some tax base, you know, in close proximity to what we're doing with a public building there, seemed to make some sense. The old Fire Station 1 has been vacant now for the last few months, had a pretty substantial sewer issue there that forced the fire administration out of that building. But now, you know, looking for somebody
so that's right on Washington. I mean, so people know it. I mean, and Fire Station 1 means it was their first fire station.
Right.
I mean, that
right.
thing's older than a hill.
There too. I mean, it's a beautiful historic building. It needs some work now, you know, because of what happened.
I hope you
don't
raise any of that stuff.
No. So just to go back to the Press Gazette deal, Fire Station 1 was a part of that arrangement. So that was one of the properties that was essentially traded, although we're requiring a development agreement that City Council RDA would sign off on before that property gets conveyed. To your point, to make sure that nobody's knocking it down.
Right.
They're doing something really cool with it because, you know, like you said, it's on Adams and Washington.
Awesome.
I mean, it's really kind of the gateway to downtown in some respects. So to be able to put, you know, a coffee shop, brewery, distillery, something in there that really activates that property would be pretty cool.
Walking distance from my house.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
It'll be great. So I hope it's something with some retail presence too.
Right.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's the
whole. Then if you're going to do this fire station on the west side, on Broadway, across from the Shipyard Badger sheet metal building, what will you abandon Fire Station 3, another beautiful building?
Yes. Yeah, so that we would also be vacating that. Yeah, so that's a good question. Locating essentially fire administration along with Fire Station 3 in the new firehouse on Broadway. But there too, you know, would love to see a great new development, preserving that property because of its historic value, the beauty of it. Really would love to see that happen.
If you haven't learned, you will, that renovation is significantly more than raising it and building new. But you got to stick to the history and say, this, we need this because this is something we have that nobody around us has, is history.
Right.
But it's expensive.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you can't save it, you can't save it. But with these historic buildings,
those are in good shape.
And Schauer and Schumacher is another great example of that where, you know, just a really critical piece of our downtown. You know, we have not a full-fledged development agreement there, but we're hoping that we could actually bring something to our February RDA. Again, to your point of not wanting to knock down these beautiful historic buildings and preserve them.
I mean, we had an offer on it. The guy was going to use it as a parking lot. I'm like, don't ever come back here.
Right. No, that's not what we want to see.
No. Well, that's great. Hey, before we go, funding, money. I mean, the city runs a budget of what, 130?
Approaching 140. Okay. 139 million, yeah.
Right. And with that, you know, you've got know, a lot of services, police, mm-hmm. fire, DPW is the majority of that budget.
Yep.
You received from our federal government some ARPA funds. And were you happy where that went? I mean, you kind of spread that out.
Yeah, we did. And we entertained a lot of community feedback to kind of guide how we ended up allocating those dollars. $10 million of it could be used for city purposes, infrastructure, facility upgrades, things like that. But the balance of it, roughly, I guess, $13.7 million, needed to be dispersed out into the community based on federal rules that were handed to us, right? So it wasn't like we were operating in a blue sky world. We had to abide by some of these federal regulations. But yeah, by and large, it felt like it was a very community-informed process, funded some important work. One of the most successful is the curb appeal program, which was going, again, when you were mayor. But, you know, just to enable people to make some improvements to their home, their front porches, their driveways, their roofs, you know, whatever it might be, to really spruce up some of these neighborhoods. So that's just one example of what we were able to do.
All right. Hey, we're running out of time. That was a fast hour.
Yeah.
I've told you this before. I see you, but not often, but I see you once in a while. Yeah, I just stand ready to help you any way I can. I mean, I love the city, you know, as you do.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll keep all that going. I'm serious about that coal pile thing. You, me, and Jaden.
Yeah, we'll get a bottle of champagne or something to celebrate, right?
Yeah, if you get it moved. If you don't, we'll stick with the gin.
Yeah,
so we'll just cry. All right, well, I sure appreciate you coming in and enjoy the NFL draft. I know that's right around the corner. You're working on that, and these projects. I hope a lot of them. I hope all of them come to fruition.
Right.
But it's just, you know, it's an ongoing battle. So
it is.
All right, we had Mayor Gingerkin today. Thank you for being here. This is Lean Local, Jim Schmidt. We'll see you next Sunday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.